Welcome back to Random Trek, the podcast where I, your host, Scott McNulty, discuss a random episode of Star Trek with a non-random guest. My non-random guest tonight is Casey Liss. Casey, thank you for joining me.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be aboard, sir.
You sounded surprised there for a second. What?
No, who, me? I'm the other guy here?
Why was I not informed?
Why am I in front of this mic? What's going on?
Well, you are a seasoned podcaster, which is, I would assume, how many people would know you. But maybe tell the folks a little bit about yourself, how they might
sure.
know you.
So if you know me at all, you would know me probably from the Accidental Tech Podcast, which I do with my two friends, John Syracusa and Marco Arment. That was a show born from our previous venture, also a podcast called Neutral, which was a show about cars by three guys who know nothing about cars. But we do know a little bit about technology-related things, and so that's why it's called the Accidental Tech Podcast. It just kind of came to be after Neutral ended. Or you may know me from Twitter or perhaps my website, but more likely than not, you probably know me from ATP.
From the internet. The internet's Casey Liss.
Exactly. Now, the internet's own.
That's right. And now in your ears. Which is slightly creepy. So, Casey, would you consider yourself, this is a perennial question I ask everyone, would you consider yourself a Star Trek fan?
So this question seems so simple, but yet is so difficult. So I used to be a tremendous Next Generation fan. And I never really watched the original series. Mm-hmm. I watched all the, well, let me rephrase. I watched the first six movies, and then after that, everything gets fuzzy for me. I watched the first six original series movies. Quite clearly, Wrath of Khan is far and away the best. I am of the opinion, which I know is not original, that the odds are awful and the evens are good. Even four, I actually quite liked.
Four is funny. So, It has whales.
Exactly. And it is absurd in every way. And to be fair, I haven't seen it in probably 15 years, but I remember it fondly. But I never really watched the original TV series that much. And I found Star Trek when I was, I'd say in middle school. And that's when Next Generation was actively airing. And I think it happened because there was a marathon on WGN, if I'm not mistaken. I lived in Chicago at the time, or outside Chicago at the time. And I watched like a gazillion episodes and was like, oh my God, this is the best thing ever. And and I became a huge Trekkie for like, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. And then by the time I got to high school, I never looked back. And I know that there was also Deep Space Nine at roughly the same real life time table. Mm-hmm. And then Voyager was sort of in the periphery of my awareness. And then anything that came after that, I am completely and utterly ignorant of.
Well, then that makes my follow-up question pretty easy. I always ask, well, what's your favorite series? I think I might be able to guess based on what you said. But
definitely Enterprise. No, it is The Next Generation, far and away. But to be fair, like I said, it's basically the only one I've really seen.
But with this lovely podcast, who knows what comes up
exactly.
in the roulette. But luckily, you were lucky in that you got a Next Generation episode.
Well, I was lucky on the surface, and we'll talk about that a little bit more in a moment. But yes, I was very excited, not knowing anything about the episode, because I have not seen all of the Next Generation episodes, although I feel like I've seen most of them. And when you told me my assignment, I was very excited that it was Next Generation because I would have some context to it. Mm-hmm. And you seemed very subtly apologetic when you gave me the assignment, or maybe I'm inventing that, but that's what the way it seemed. And then I watched the episode and everything became clear.
Yes. So the episode that we are speaking of is called Shades of Grey, which is a season 2 episode. In fact, the last episode of season 2, episode 22, and we can talk about that. I usually don't talk about production notes, but I feel like for this episode, you kind of have to explain why it exists. Because there are some solid reasons why it exists. And I like to think of this episode as the episode in which Riker thinks about the better episodes he was in.
Indeed.
Because it's a clip show, is what it is. And they were running out of money, apparently, in season 2. They made a bunch of expensive, good episodes. And it was hurtling towards the end of the season. And they flat out had no money. So they said, hey, writers, write us a show that'll be super cheap. And so one of the writers thought, what's cheaper than showing a bunch of clips of stuff we've already done? And so they created a story around having Riker remember past episodes of Star Trek, well, the first and second season of Star Trek. And they limited the number of guests that were on it. So apparently, according to Memory Alpha, which is my source for all Star Trek-related information, this episode of Star Trek holds many distinctions. One of them being probably it is the worst episode of The Next Generation. the other one is it has the least number of actual actors in it, like in the main part of it. Apparently there are only like 9 actors who actually do things. And that just kept the costs down. And they apparently filmed it in 3 days. All of these things are self-evident when you watch it. Even if you don't even if you don't know, you can feel it. I don't want to talk for you, Casey, but I feel like it's not a great episode. What did you think of the episode overall before we dive into the story?
Sure. So I feel like I should set the stage as to how I approach the episode. So like I just said, big Star Trek The Next Generation fan, but I haven't seen an episode in probably 10 or 15 years. And I had a really strong internal debate with myself, which I never told you, Scott, about how much research or context should I set before watching the episode. And I felt like the most genuine way of approaching this was to only glance at Memory Alpha to see which episode it was and confirm that I had grabbed the right one. I did not read Memory Alpha. I still have only glanced at it as I sit here now. And I did not watch any prior episodes leading into this show. Additionally, it's been so darn long since I've seen Star Trek that it became pretty obvious to me pretty quick that this was a clip show, except I haven't seen these episodes in so long. I wasn't 100% sure it was a clip show, which made it almost entertaining, almost, because I was trying to figure out, is this really a clip show? And then I looked at the where it was in the run, and I saw it was the end of season 2. And it's a clip show in season 2? Really? So I came at this not having seen any Next Generation episodes in forever and a day. I did not cheat and watch like the one or two leading up to it. I didn't watch any after it. I only watched this, did not look at Memory Alpha, and whew, it was rough. It was rough.
And I was thinking, I'm glad you said the part about kind of being confused about if it's a clip show or not, because as I was watching it, I was thinking, if you're a casual Star Trek viewer, and, you know, now we live in the days where you can watch any episode of any Star Trek series on demand, right? So you fire up your old box that you watch videos on, and you pick Shades of Grey just for fun, because it sounds like an interesting title, and you start watching it. It is incredibly confusing what happens when they start shifting into the clips.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's just all of a sudden they do this hand-wavy thing of, oh, well, Riker's hurt and he's got some something in him. And we've concluded Dr. Pulaski, which I forgot she was even a person on the show. I was so confused that it wasn't Dr. Crusher. And then what made it worse was Dr. Crusher appears in one of the clips. And
exactly.
I got really confused. That's what made me doubt it was a clip show. And that because, oh, anyway. So the point is, they do this hand wavy thing where apparently in order to hurt this organism that's inside Riker, what you need to do is make him have really strong memories, mm-hmm. which is clearly a ham-fisted way of saying, hey, we're going to show you a bunch of old crap.
Yes. But they don't make any I found the transitions – and we'll talk about the story such that it is. Casey pretty much summed it up already. they don't make any – like, you know, when you're doing a clip show, there's maybe like that hazy transition phase. And say, hey, this is not happening now. If you are new to the show, we are showing you old clips. And this episode, I guess they didn't want to go that way because that would be cheesy or something. So they just cut. It's like a jump cut to random slices of other episodes of Star Trek, The Next Generation. And it seems like there's no rhyme or reason to the clips, except later Dr. Pulaski figures out, oh, we need to make him feel bad so that we can kill this thing in him. So then they start showing, you know, Enterprise is blowing up and Tasha Yar is dying and all of these strong scenes of emotion for Riker. At the beginning, they're like randomly sliced together as if someone knocked a bunch of episodes by accident into a blender. And then they're like, it's good enough.
Yeah, why not? It's so bad. This was such a bad episode. And the comedy of it is, is that, you know, the episode opens, as to my recollection, most of them do, with this beautiful shot of the Enterprise. And mm-hmm. and this is my Enterprise. You know, this is the one that I kind of grew up on. I had the probably absurdly expensive toy Enterprise and, and the toy Klingon destroyer, whatever it's called. I'm so sorry. I don't remember the appropriate terminology. But it opens with the Enterprise. And my first thought is, I remember this. And I'm so excited with myself. And then pretty much after the fifth second of the show, everything went nosediving into the ground. It was ridiculous.
I mean, it is clear they didn't want to spend a lot of money on this episode. I know I've said that already, but I want to make it clear. And there are some people who are listening to this podcast who sometimes on a previous podcast, I said I've noticed a trend where some folks just listen to the podcast and they don't watch the episode of Star Trek that we're talking about. And I found that quizzical because, you know, the episode of Star Trek is like the primary text to, you know, pull out some academic talk there. And so really, I'm thinking you should just watch the episode of Star Trek instead of listening to us talk about it. But in this case, I would say just don't watch this episode.
Yeah, you could get by without.
I am certain that this episode of Random Trek is more entertaining than that episode of The Next Generation. I can't say that for many episodes of this podcast, but for this one, I'm pretty sure I'm safe in saying that.
Yeah, it was it was bad.
It's not good.
And I feel so terrible because I'm sure there are people who are listening to this show that don't know who I am. And the impression you're going to have by the end of this episode is, God, that guy's cranky. And I don't mean that, but if you were to watch this episode, you would understand my crankiness because it's just so bad. I mean, there are absolutely wonderful parts to it. As an example, so I took a lot of notes, and as an example, Elcars? Is that the user interface on the Enterprise? Mm-hmm. I actually feel like that aged pretty well. I was really happy to see that.
It does. It does stand up to the test of time, I suppose, is the phrase I'm searching for. And especially nowadays, I haven't even given this any thought, but nowadays when we're interacting more and more by touching things on screens like they do in Star Trek, it seems very ahead of its time. I think they have to work on their Siri, but their touch screens, makes me wonder, because a lot of people who, you know, industrial designers and iOS developers, mobile app developers in general, are going to paint with a broad brush here, but are Star Trek fans, I imagine, and they're kind of geeky. So it makes me wonder how much The Next Generation has influenced the way our user interfaces that we interact with have matured. So that we are, you know, it's kind of a self-fulfilling fantasy. The young geeks who were watching The Next Generation then go ahead and build the future that they saw in their childhood.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. And the funny thing about it is, if this was, 2 years ago that we were talking, I would tell you, oh, Elcars looks ridiculous because it's not skeuomorphic and it's all flat and it's just awful. But now, flat is trendy. And so as we sit here in the year 2015, it actually looks kind of modern, which is awesome. That being said, the third note I wrote down, so I wrote down, oh, that Enterprise. Then I wrote down, where the hell is Dr. Crusher? Mm-hmm. And then the third thing I wrote down is, holy crap, that tricorder is huge. Because I'm used to looking at my svelte little iPhone 6, which is, you know, almost as thin as a piece of paper. And then Dr. Pulaski pulls out this tricorder, and holy cow, that thing is enormous.
It is a gigantic device. I say that as someone who owns an iPhone 6 Plus. Even that is smaller than this tricorder that she uses.
Exactly. And I remember vividly in my list of Next Generation toys, I had a tricorder because as a complete and utter nerd, I thought the tricorder was possibly the coolest thing on Star Trek. Maybe the phasers. But anyway, I had a toy tricorder and I remember it being exactly as huge as the doctor's. Well, with the exception of the little like medical probey hand wavy thing.
Right. That I guess is tucked up in the top there.
Right.
That she then takes out to, and I have a question. So in season 2, Dr. Crusher is not around. Dr. Pulaski obviously replaces her. She's cranky. She's more in the vein of Dr. McCoy than Dr. Crusher. But I question her medical abilities, or at least Starfleet medical standards. Because they beam down. It opens with LaForge and Riker on the planet. Riker's been poked by something he doesn't know what, because apparently Riker just stomps around on alien planets without paying attention to anything, and he's got this nasty wound in his leg. It is so nasty, in fact, that the transporter refuses to beam him up because it can't filter out this alien microbe that's infested him. So they send down Dr. Pulaski to check him out, who's the chief medical officer. It's kind of weird to send her down onto a planet, but hey, he's the second in command, so maybe he gets special treatment. She scans him. She's like, yep, I've never seen anything like this before. I can't fix it down here. I will give a medical override to beam you into the transporter room. And my question for you, Casey, is wouldn't it make sense to beam him directly to sickbay and, like, quarantine him, since he has, like, a weird alien thing they've never seen before?
Indeed. But that would make way too much sense. So why would you bother? And I'm sure you could explain it away as there's some sort of interference in sickbay or something like that. Man, I wish I still had my technical manual from way back when. I'm sure I should flip through
there's
it.
There's an answer if I still in there. Had it.
I'm sure there's an answer in there. But yeah, that would make it tremendous sense. And it's one of those things, as I've gotten older, I've noticed in TV a lot, is that sometimes the really obvious solution, not only is it not even thought of, but it's not used. And the sad thing is, more often than not, I don't even think of it. Like, here's a great example. It did not even occur to me that it would make a lot more sense to quarantine him directly in sickbay.
You would think. And then when they put him in sickbay, they just cover him up with a sequined blanket. They don't, which perhaps is a quarantine. I don't know. I don't have the technical manual in front of me, so maybe that's what the quarantine field looks like.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is stylish.
Now, the funny thing is, you know, to go back just a step, I was just saying to you how thick and large the tricorder is. Mm-hmm. At about 3 minutes in, you get a close up of Dr. Pulaski scanning Riker's wound, and sitting here now in 2015, looking back on this episode that aired in what, like 88, 89, something like that, that tricorder is so obviously a prop. It's almost embarrassing how obvious it is. But at the time, I just told you, I ate that up. God, I love those things.
And I think this is when you have to really appreciate some group of people that I never really even gave any thought to, but as I'm doing this project, it's becoming more apparent. The people who create props for shows that are now filmed in HD.
Because yeah, it's so true.
In Star Trek, The Next Generation, right, this was never meant to be seen as clearly as we're seeing it. So when we saw it originally, it was an SD. It covered up a lot. And so that tricorder looked great because it was not in focus.
Yep. No, you're absolutely right.
We could not see anything. And this there was recently an episode that featured a extreme close-up on a teenaged Will Wheaton's face, which, you know, no teenager should have an extreme close-up in HD. And the makeup just did not hide the ravages of adolescence on poor Will Wheaton's face.
Aw.
And then you see things like you could see handprints on glass in the background, and the props just look like props, just because it was never meant to. I guess that no one ever thought that people would be watching this, you know, on their phones in higher definition than it was broadcast in television.
Yeah, it really is weird, and I don't mean to slight, you know, the prop people. I love the tricorder. I still kind of do. I still have a soft spot in my heart for it, but with the advantage of looking back on it with that hindsight, it's funny how obvious it is.
it's totally true. And I think that this episode is not good. And it is not only bad because it is a clip show. They could have done a good clip show. But I feel like everybody was just kind of phoning it in on this episode.
Oh, very much so.
Because even, you know, I think all the actors are great, but nobody makes a good performance in this episode, if you ask me. Even Captain Jean-Luc Picard, who shows up a couple times, is just awkward and stiff. And that's a little bit of being second season. But there are some good second season episodes. So I don't know what was going on, but everybody was cranky or something. But like you were cranky.
Yeah, exactly.
This episode just makes people cranky.
The thing is that everything about it is just kind of 50% effort, and I have it playing in the background, and I didn't start it exactly when we started, but I'm jumping about a bit. And at this point, so Riker comes back to sickbay, and LaForge and Data go back to the surface to figure out, okay, what bit Riker?
Right.
And they decide that it's a tree root, or what appears to be a tree root. Mm-hmm. And in the defense of LeVar Burton and Brent Spiner, they do as well as one could hope in making a tree root seem dangerous, excepting when LaForge says to Data, "Be careful." And Data says, "I'm always careful," and does not sell it at all. Like, it's so forced and awful. But it, regardless, they make this tree root look about as scary as one could. That being said, it is quite obvious that this was made on a shoestring budget, because their the way they decided to add drama and intrigue into the show, and the villain of the show was a freaking tree root. Like, it's so bad.
With one claw on it.
With one and only one claw on it. Oh, God, it's hysterical.
And then for some reason, so yeah, you know, they beam down to collect a sample of whatever has done this so Dr. Pulaski can figure out how to cure Riker, right? Because he's dying. And then Geordi, Data grabs the vine or the branch or whatever it is so that Geordi can phaser off. It's so weird. He phasers off this little barb off of the vine, which seems weird to me. And then he just kind of holds it. He doesn't put it in like a specimen bag or anything. Nope. It's just like, all right, we got it. Let's go. I'll just put this in my pocket.
Exactly. And the thing that I don't understand is, why is the transporter okay with that? Because it was not okay with it being inside of Riker, but apparently when it's external, everything's cool. We're all friends.
Well, I would assume this is something Erica Ensign has called headcanons or handwavium, that they have preemptively done a medical override so they can bring it back up to save Riker.
That's a fair point.
I would assume. I don't know. This episode is not very good.
Oh, it's so rough.
We just have to come back to that. Although I will say, whenever Chief O'Brien makes an appearance, I'm happy. And he is the only guest star. And he mans the transporter room, has a little – there are a couple of funny one-liners on this episode. It doesn't save the episode by any means. But Dr. Pulaski is not a fan of transporting, so she has to transport down to the planet. And she gets up on the pad, and Chief O'Brien's like, "I think these are the coordinates," which is kind of funny. She did not.
What was the response? She actually had a very funny and snarky response, which I don't recall off the top of my head.
Yeah, she was good. I don't remember, something about, "I like transporters just as much as I like transporter chiefs," or something like that.
Or like fun, or transporter chiefs that make...
Oh, yes, funny transporter chiefs.
Yeah, yeah, something like that. Oh, man. Whatever it was actually pretty good. And. Yeah. And so to continue down kind of the course of the episode, it's apparent that this is supposed, or to me anyway, it was apparent that this was supposed to be like Riker's exposition and an examination of all things Riker. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that struck me as I watched this for the first episode in over a decade was Riker was way snarkier than I remember him being. Like, I remember him being kind of snarky, mm-hmm. but he had the snark turned up to 11, or at least I felt like it. And it was surprising that I don't recall that. And maybe that's because when I watched it, I was much younger. Again, I was in middle school, like, you know, when I watched the series originally. Mm-hmm. But as an adult, I listened to some of these like one-liners and zingers, and I don't have a specific example, but it was striking to me how punchy and snarky he was. Not unhappy, just snarky.
Yeah, he's got a joie de vivre. He's not afraid to make fun of some people, or to, as we see in many clips, make out with an alien. Riker's exactly. Man. You know, if you have an alien lady who's a little lonely, send him a little Riker. He'll fix that right up.
He will fix that up. But yeah, that is jumping ahead a little bit. We are skipping over. At some point, I believe it is Deanna comes in,
yes,
and is talking to him in sick bay, and they're getting a little nostalgic and kind of, "Oh my goodness, are you going to die?" Blah blah blah. And in a perfect example of how just really bad the writing is on this episode, Riker says, "I haven't given up yet," and then. And at that point, he like goes into a coma or whatever. It just immediately, like, there was a beat. "I haven't given up yet, Deanna." That was that.
Yeah,
it was ridiculous.
So Deanna Troi is an underutilized character in general. And in this episode particularly, she – I mean every character in this episode is underutilized, let's be frank. But when that's the case, then Deanna Troi becomes doubly underused. So basically her function is to stand and this happens a lot in Star Trek The Next Generation. Deanna Troi stands looking at somebody else doing something and
reacts. Yeah, that's a good point actually. I never thought of it that way, but you're very right.
They never have her – I shouldn't say never. They very rarely have Deanna do anything. In this episode, she's just watching Dr. Pulaski and being nervous for Riker. And you would think – and I guess Dr. Pulaski kind of uses Deanna Troi as like another piece of lab equipment because she uses her
that's so true. God, that's bad.
Her empathy, right, to say, oh, well, is Riker feeling bad or good? Because, and then we can figure out – based on the growth of the microbe, which memories are effective at beating it back. So poor Deanna Troi. That's all I'm saying. She could have done a lot more in general in the series. And in this episode in particular, it could have helped maybe having Deanna do something. I don't know if she could have saved it, but...
No, I very much agree with you. She was very underutilized, and I never thought of it that way until you just said that. But it's very true, and I feel bad because I think, given how cheesy the episode was, mm-hmm. What is it, Mariana Sirtis? I forget how you pronounce her name, but either way, the actress that played Deanna did a very good job with what was really not a lot of material. But that being said, it was just kind of her reacting to things, just like you said.
And she did a great job of looking concerned for Riker, but that's really about all she could do.
Yeah, exactly. So then we enter like the flashback portion. We put a bunch of probes into Riker, and we enter the flashback portion. And it's funny because the first note I have when we get to that point is clean shaven. I guess we're in a flashback now because I remember that Jonathan Frakes was clean shaven early on in the series. But had I not had that recollection, I think I would have been really confused. I mean, since he looks younger, I suppose I would have assumed that this was indeed a flashback, but goodness, I was very lost very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, even I knew that he, it made me, that moment made me think, wait, did Riker have a beard in this episode or not? To remember. And I didn't recognize, although it's Encounter at Farpoint, the first Star Trek episode, Star Trek The Next Generation episode, I didn't immediately recognize what episode it was from. So I was very confused. I was like, did they shave off his beard for some reason?
Right, exactly.
But then it became clear. I was like, oh, he's meeting Data for the first time. That's at Encounter at Farpoint. And that does show, I mean, this is all about, I guess, showing slices of Riker's life and his evolution as a character, although he doesn't evolve really as a character as we see through all of these clips. But it shows that Data has evolved even in the first to second season, because the first iteration of Data was really like, I don't understand humans, but I really want to be a human. And that, of course, carries throughout the whole series, but it was like he just basically said it outright, I want to be a human. Not very subtle.
Yeah, I actually felt like that was out of character, or it was out of character for the Data that I remember anyway.
Exactly.
And I thought that was very odd. And it's funny because I have a note that Data had said prejudice is very human, mm-hmm. which, while clearly was one of those like Wayne's World style, look at the camera, this is your Emmy moment. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, I thought it was a good line, and I thought it was well delivered. But then just a moment later, he says, I'd give it up. I forget exactly what they were speaking of specifically, but basically I'd give up all the advantages of being a robot to be human. And that felt so weird to me. And it felt like a very emotional statement from an organism, or not even an organism, from a robot that at this point doesn't even have his emotion chip yet, as far as I can recall.
That is true. Yeah, I think that's the first episode, first season. Obviously, they're trying to figure out.
Right,
I guess
right.
They knew they wanted Data, and they wanted this character like Spock who looks human but isn't human and wants to, you know, is always, whereas Spock was fighting with his human side, this character, as Riker calls him, Pinocchio, wants to be a real boy. And they didn't make it very subtle in that episode. They just basically said, look, here's a robot. He wants to be a human. and he's a character. So let's move on.
Yep, it's very true. And speaking of things that I felt were totally out of character, was the flashback with Guinan and Wesley Crusher and Riker, when Riker was hitting on Guinan something awful, was that part? Was that actually a flashback?
That was a flashback. That happened. He was, I forget which episode that's from, but he was trying to show Wesley Crusher how to handle the ladies.
And so, we all know Riker's the one to do that, as you talked about earlier.
That's right. He is the Captain Kirk of the Next Generation. So he seduces, well, maybe not seduces. That's a strong word. He playfully interacts with Guinan.
Yeah, and she seemed way more into it than I expected her to. And again, a lot of this is my hazy recollection of The Next Generation informing my viewing today. But nonetheless, I was looking at Guinan getting like really into this exchange with Riker, thinking, really? I didn't think this was her style at all.
No, I think that she was I don't remember that episode very well. Obviously, I remember that clip because I just saw it. but my read on that is that she was enjoying the playful nature of it and getting into it. Because she is a listener, right? That's her race.
Yeah,
she listens, so she's getting into it. And that also has that funny moment where she tells Wesley to shut up.
That was one of the better moments in the episode. But yeah, you're right. It was funny. And I think, in a way, me randomly arriving on this clip show was almost for the best, because it helped remind me of all the things that are a part of Next Generation. What I didn't remember, however, was when we suddenly cut to pornography.
I was wondering when that would come up.
Which I was absolutely stunned when that happened, because I was not in the right mental state for a bunch of half-naked people to be on the screen. And the best part of all was, I thought this was like broadcast terrestrial television, wasn't it?
It was.
Was it primetime?
It was. Yes, it was syndicated, but in primetime. And yeah, so this is an episode. I do remember the name of this episode because it's hard to forget. Justice. And this is the episode where Wesley Crusher is sentenced to death because he walks on the grass. And also where the inhabitants of this planet are basically naked and they jog everywhere. and yes, we get, I think this is another symptom of HD making it much more in your face. Because when I was a kid, I saw this episode and I was not, I mean, I'm no prude as an adult, but it's just surprising, like you said, to see in like HD quality. These people are wearing very, very small costumes. And there is an extended scene in which a woman is oiling up a muscled man and massaging him very suggestively.
It's so true. Now, to be fair, I felt like, and granted I'm a dude, but I felt like the dudes were also reasonably scantily clad, which was nice to see.
Yes.
You know, it wasn't like just a complete excuse to see a bunch of half-naked women, which is basically all of television these days. But
that's true. Everybody was half-naked.
But gosh, did it. It was like getting hit by a 2x4 because I was not expecting it. Additionally, the woman who preceded Worf, I forget her name now.
Tasha Yar.
Yar. Mm-hmm. I think this was her first appearance in the episode, and that was actually kind of surprising as well, because I remember her being a character, but I had completely forgotten about her. And so all of a sudden there she was, and I was like, oh yeah.
Oh,
she was
right.
A person. I remember that now.
She existed, yes.
And, indeed.
Denise Richards, who is the actress, whenever she's on an episode, I think she must really regret skipping out and, you know, letting her contract lapse after one season of The Next Generation.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure what she saw, we can all agree the first season of The Next Generation, and even the second season, kind of a rocky start. And I can only imagine she must have thought, well, this is not going anywhere. I don't want to be tied to this show forever.
Oh, yeah. And it makes sense. And the funny thing is, one of the things that struck me immediately when I saw Tasha Yar was years ago, like 5 or 6 years ago, I don't know, for whatever reason, I think it was around Christmas time, I went looking at the backgrounds for all these Christmas musicians or stereotypical Christmas musicians that I love. And one of them is Bing Crosby. And sure enough, Denise Crosby is the paternal granddaughter of Bing Crosby. which I never knew. And so that was one of those like completely random memories that also came running into my mind from the middle of nowhere. And it was effectively getting like getting walloped with a second 2x4. So it was a very intense moment for me, Scott. You have to understand.
You went on quite a journey through this episode.
Seriously, it was intense. That's all right.
I'm glad I'm here to share this experience with you and be your guide through it.
Oh, and then another example of like really cheesy lines. There was the woman in the red dress who I assume was like from the holodeck or just some other fake representation of a real woman. And Riker asks, "How real are you?" And she says suggestively, which I can't imitate, "As real as you need." Like I feel like they all, or maybe it wasn't the woman in the red dress, but somebody, it was one of the women. Anyway, I feel like they just needed a baby at the end to just really put it over the top. How real are you? As real as you need, baby. Like, I mean, come on. You couldn't think of a better line than that.
No, they couldn't.
Oh, so bad.
Yeah, and this is the other thing that I guess, you know, they didn't have a lot to – well, that's not true. There were some really great episodes of The Next Generation in the first and second season, and a lot of bad episodes. And so when you're picking the clips, I think you'd want to lean towards the better episodes. But it seems like they were like, well, Riker is kind of a Lothario, so we need to have a bunch of scenes of him seducing ladies, and we need a bunch of scenes. We have that one episode with the naked people running around, so make sure to have a scene of that where they're oiling up each other. And then we need some scenes with bad emotions, so let's put in some of the guy getting infested by an alien and his head exploding, and some starships exploding, and Tasha Yar dying, and we're good.
They at least tried to make an arc of all these memories rather than just completely and unabashedly making this a clip show. But golly, I feel like I don't know what the alternative would have been, but I feel like they could just a little bit more effort could have gotten something equivalent at like or something a little bit better out of this. And goodness, it was so random. And the other thing that was funny was they, in a couple of occasions, they made very curious choices with the clips running into each other. Mm-hmm. So there was at one point when Riker, I guess, was assigned to a Klingon vessel.
Yes.
And he beats up this Klingon. Mm-hmm. And then the next clip is him getting his butt handed to him by an old dude. Now, I think the old dude was under the influence of some sort of like alien life form,
yes,
or whatever.
That's from Conspiracy, which we discussed on this very podcast.
But it's still so – it's such whiplash going from one to the other. I don't know. It was peculiar.
And I'm sure the person who picked those clips thought, this is fantastic. We'll show Riker beating up a giant Klingon and then getting beaten up by an old man, and this will be great.
Look at this juxtaposition. This is awesome.
And that's I hate banging on this drum, but that interaction also suffers from watching it in HD because it is super clear that the old man is replaced by a stuntman when the fisticuffs start happening. Not that it matters, but it's always it amuses me to watch these remastered TV shows and see all the things that they thought, you'll never see this.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about that.
So it looks fine.
The one thing I will say, and I think it was in the fight with the old man, but I am not 100% sure, Riker does do a quality Karate Kid style swan kick,
yes,
which I was really excited about.
That is with the old man. He karate kicks him right in the face.
Yeah, it was well executed. I was very happy to see that. As a big Karate Kid fan, that made me giggle.
He's limber, that Riker.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, Jonathan Frakes is like 6'6", isn't he, or something like that? Maybe not that tall, but
he's a tall man,
which is why he, or didn't he have like back problems or something, which is why he always got on chairs in an odd way.
Yes, he swung his leg over the chairs and kind of lowered himself into them.
Yeah, I'd never known that until like a year ago, and my goodness, talk about your mind being blown when I saw like the animated GIF or the clip reel, mm-hmm. or whatever it was of Riker jumping, or not jumping, but kind of lowering himself, as like you said, is a great way to phrasing it, lowering himself onto all these chairs. I never noticed it, and then I saw this, and I was like, my God. How did I not see this all this time?
You can never unsee it. Yep, once you notice it, every time you watch an episode of Star Trek and he's sitting down, you're like, yep, that's he's doing the weird sitting thing.
Yep, it's like the FedEx logo. You cannot unsee it.
That's right. If you look closely at the FedEx logo, you will see a picture of Riker.
That's exactly it.
You have to get really close, though.
Yeah, that's right.
So,
So that was most of my notes on the episode. The only other notes I have were the absolutely ridiculous glowing hand, which I don't even know what the setup was there. All I know is Riker is doing, or Jonathan Frakes is doing his best, like, frozen in pain face, which I got to be honest, I'm not really buying. And then the utterly cheesy special effect for the dude's glowing hand of evil.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is why they remastered them. And even though they still can't, they can't correct all of the aged special effects, I assume, especially on these lesser episodes. I believe, I don't remember what episode that is from, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And then the only other note I had was, even as not a very big Star Wars guy, in fact, I would say I'm more into Star Trek than Star Wars, when he was channeling his inner Han Solo when he was getting eaten by the black or brown sludge.
Oh, yes. Skin of evil.
Yep. That I noticed and immediately thought back to Star Wars. But but at this point, you have heard the entirety of my notes or anything I felt was worth sharing, and it was a weird episode.
It was a weird episode. Then once again, it ends on a comical note because they figure out intense bad memories will fight off the thing, the microbe that's infecting his nervous system or whatever, the MacGuffin, and so he remembers a series of bad memories, and they split it together, slice it together, you know, faster and faster to, I guess, convey how tumultuous he's feeling. And then, hooray, the infection breaks. We think Riker's okay, but we're not sure. Picard and Data come to check out if Riker's all right, and he wakes up, and they're like, okay, well, Will, are you all right? Do you know who you are? And he says, well, of course, I'm Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Starship Enterprise. Picard says, well, we're glad you're feeling better, Captain. The Admiral and I, pointing to Data, were very concerned. And then Data is like, I'm not an Admiral, Captain. I don't think you – actually, I think he says, I don't think you have the authority to promote me to Admiral, Captain.
Yeah, which was pretty funny, actually. And I did enjoy the tongue-in-cheek ending. But, ooh, it was a lot of pain to get to that one, Scott.
It's not really worth it. The journey is not worth it to get to that little joke. If you're going to watch this, just skip to the last minute and you'll get the joke and it'll be great.
Yeah, pretty much. No, it was funny because, again, I know I've said it 100 times, but it was so peculiar coming back to The Next Generation and using this episode, because this episode was pretty bad. And I have tremendous memories of some of the Next Generation episodes. Like, I vividly remember, and we were talking about this before the show, I think you said it was called Cause and Effect, which was an episode wherein they have like a kind of Groundhog Day repeat of the same thing over and over. And I thought it was brilliantly written, brilliantly acted. Now, to be fair, I thought this as a 12-year-old, but nonetheless, I watched that episode. I think I videotaped it and I watched it a gazillion times. I absolutely loved it. In fact, now I think I'm going to have to go grab it from iTunes and rewatch it. And as good as, say, that episode was, and that's just an example, Shades of Grey was just as bad.
Yes, this is, with Star Trek, there are many highs and many lows, and this is possibly the lowest Next Generation point. But the good news, folks, is that it can only go up from here.
That's right. And the funny thing is, so right before the show, I go looking at Memory Alpha, which you had linked to me back when we had set up this recording. And I'm looking at the reception of this episode and the quotes. I don't have it in front of me at this very moment, but the quotes are just scathing. And it sounds like a lot of them are from the people who worked on the episode.
Yes.
Here we go. Director Rob Bowman commented, it was Paramount saying, quote, we need to give you more money for Elementary Dear Data and the Borg show. Now do us a favor and give us a 3-day show. So that's what you do. It's an accepted part of the medium. God, it was so rough.
Yeah. I mean, there are people who have said, well, maybe they just should have filmed one less episode. That probably would have been better.
That would have been sufficient.
I think it is true. Well, Casey, I am in one part glad to have brought you back into watching Star Trek, and that it will perhaps now it's going to lead you to rewatch one of your favorite episodes of Star Trek. So I feel good about that, but I feel bad that you were randomly assigned Shades of Grey. So I apologize for that. Well, thank you so much for watching this episode and for talking to me about it.
No, all kidding aside, it was a pleasure. And like you said, it was cool to kind of become a 12-year-old in my case again and kind of live life that, you know, bring back all those memories that I had, because it's almost as though I could smell the set. You know how they say that, you know, smell makes you immediately remember mm-hmm. everything. Well, just watching this and seeing all these characters that I love so dearly, it made me remember a lot. And I probably will go back and watch at least a few episodes now.
Next on Random Trek, Enterprise Season 2, Judgment.